Today, as we come to the table,
deliverest thy message faithfully. I love this. It says, then he preached the same sermon he had preached the preceding Sunday and with considerably more energy. Can you imagine the king's response? And again, I don't historically think that Latimer was put to death then, but I find that interesting because what he said was, is, you know what? I've got two kings I'm dealing with. I've got an earthly king that if I don't please is going to get me in a lot of worldly trouble. And I've got a heavenly king that if I don't please is going to get me in a lot of heavenly and eternal trouble. I think I'll choose my heavenly king to please.
We can all look at our actions in the same light. We have two kings. One of them resides on the earth and could be the king of peers, the king of expectations, or even the king of self. This king can cause us trouble here on earth but cannot touch the eternal. And the other resides in heaven and presides over eternity. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Everything we do serves one of the two kings and flouts the other. Which king will you serve today? Where will your focus be? Will it be on heaven with the King of Kings or on earth with a closed focus on temporary things? You make the choice every single day. Choose the King of Kings today and serve him only. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 13 as he continues his message, All for One, One for All.
This community, although you may have seen in the paper that Knoxville is the number one city in America for liking the Bible. Did you read that in the paper? They did a survey of all the cities in America. We ranked number one for wanting the Bible. Now, first of all, that's very exciting to me on one thing, but you know what? It's very shocking to me because of the Franklin Graham event that happened. Why? Because the man that oversaw the Franklin Graham event, to those of us that were involved in the local organization and working with it, and we were one of the churches doing that, he said, in the 50-some years of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, this is the worst response we've ever had. My jaw drops. Like, this is the worst. Like, we have the record. Knoxville, Tennessee has the record of being the worst response to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in over 50 years of ministry and outreaches. Yes. Shocked me. And I look at the two and I say, how could this be? How could we be an area that loves the Bible the most and an area that doesn't respond to preaching the gospel? Because there is also very prevalent in our region, not just Knoxville, but in our region, it's very prevalent to say that certain people are not ordained for heaven, so there's no need to reach out to them. Did you know we had churches in Knoxville that were refusing to be a part of the outreach because they said, you're either saved or you're not. Why waste the time and the money? Mega churches in our area who said, we will not be involved because it is a waste of time and money. They're either condemned to hell or they're in heaven. Why waste our time on it? This is not what the Bible teaches, guys, and this is what concerns me about some of the church across America. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What Jamie read today, out of Deuteronomy, it says this, choose this day whom you will serve. He goes on, we'll see that in a moment in Joshua, but in the one she was talking about, he said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Now, if we didn't have a choice for life, would God give us that choice? It's very obvious that we have a choice and that we have to make the right choice. And we'll get to more of that in just a moment. Again, the setting here is, remember Paul and Barnabas, they'd taken off, they'd gone to Cyprus, they'd share with the proconsul, they'd come up to the region of what we call today Turkey. They were going through this 100 miles of thief-infested territory where John Mark abandoned them, and they go to Antioch in Pisidia. They go into the synagogue. They preach the gospel. The Jews tolerate it because it's not too threatening and kind of a surprise. The Gentiles get excited, and that's where we take up in verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, and Paul had shared that day, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Why? Because the Gentiles, for the first time, were hearing they could be saved without becoming a Jew. They didn't have to convert to Judaism. What do you mean? God loves me too? There's not just that elect that gets in. The door's open for everyone. Yes, Paul said, the door is open for everyone. And you Gentiles, even you Gentiles can get in if you simply believe and repent. And so the Gentiles were excited about this because, again, they'd never heard this message before. And now this new message coming from Paul, they'd felt left out. Even the worst of sinners, Paul is saying, can get into the kingdom of God. And maybe some of you today are feeling left out. You feel like you're one of the worst of sinners and you can't get in. Listen, I don't care what you have done. Jesus Christ did not die in vain. He did not die in vain. I've done too much. You don't know how horrible. I've killed people. I've raped people. I've committed adultery. I don't know what your background is. And hopefully if you've done that and you're in here today, you've already repented, you know, so you don't kill me or someone else. But the bottom line is, even if you haven't repented and you're a murderer here today, or you're a rapist, or you're an adulterer, or whatever your sin might be, you can be forgiven right now because of what the Lord did on the cross. The blood covers it all. He said from the cross, it is almost enough, right? Wrong. He said, it is finished. Paid in full. There's no other price to pay. You just have to believe and have to come. And now you see why they were so excited about this message. They wanted to hear it. They were excited to hear it. And the ones that desired to hear it were now gathering to Paul. We're going to see in the next verse, they gather the next week, or here in a couple of verses, in huge crowds. Almost the entire city comes together. Now this brings up another point I want to make before we move on, and that is this. When you go into all the world and preach the gospel, you don't force it down people's throat. You give it to those who want to hear it. If someone says they don't want to hear it, you leave them alone. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, don't throw pearls to swine. What that means is don't take the precious pearls of my truth and my word and give it to those that will just trample it in the mud. Give it to those who want it. If you give it to those who want it, they're going to be excited. They're going to hear it. They're going to gather. And it's going to mean something to them, you know? It's interesting. We see that with Jesus. After he cast the demons out of the Gadarene, rather than thanking the Lord for what he'd done in this man's life, the people of Gadara asked him to leave. We don't want you around here. You know, you're bad for business. We had a whole, you know, farm of pigs up here and you drowned them all. You know, you're costing us money. We don't really agree with what you're bringing and teach us. Get out of here. What did the Lord do? He left. He got in the boat and went to the other side. He didn't force himself on them. Now, he did send the Gadarene back in to share, which I think was neat. The Lord didn't leave them without a witness. But again, the Lord never forces himself on anyone. And they weren't doing that here. We're going to see. When they're asked to leave, they leave. But watch what happened. Verse 43. So when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. In other words, stay here. Keep sharing the truth that everyone can be saved. We want to hear that message. We don't want to hear that just the Jews can get in. We want to know that we can get in too and that everyone's welcome. And you can imagine that week that they stayed there, wherever they were staying, it doesn't tell us. It was probably packed every day. At Paul and Barnabas' place, they were staying. People saying, tell us about Jesus. Tell us, what do we need to do to get saved? We don't have to convert. We don't have to do all these things. How do we do this? And there, no doubt, was this great revival going on. There was. Because we're going to see the whole city gathers together. All these people are hearing the great news of what the message that Paul and Barnabas are bringing. And by the way, when we properly present the gospel, it is a great message, isn't it? It's good news. You can be forgiven. All your sins washed away. New life. Not just down here, but eternally. And I love it. The results of those they shared with, notice they were excited, they were encouraging them, and they were ministering not only to those guys there, but those guys were ministering to Paul and Barnabas because they were both mutually excited about the Bible. Now, guys, I want to encourage you in something. Again, when I talk about not forcing it down people's throat, we also have to realize we have limited time, and we need to be sharing the gospel with those that want to hear it. I get a lot of people a lot of times that want to hear the gospel, and anybody that wants to hear it, I want to give it to them. But on occasion, I'll have someone that wants to hear the gospel that I've shared with over and over and over, or at least someone says they want to hear the gospel, but they never respond. I had someone call me recently and say, I want you to come share the gospel with someone, you know, and I'd shared the gospel with this person for numerous times for many years. And this person had always pushed it away. Don't want it, 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 don't want it. And the last time I got a phone call saying, could you go and share with this person again? I said, I'd be more than happy to share with this person. But as you know, I've been sharing with them for many years, and I've shared the gospel many times, and they don't want to hear it. And they keep pushing me away. So this time I'm not going to go until they ask me to come, because I want to know they want to hear it. I said, my time is limited, and I've got lots of people who do want to hear the gospel. Now that may have sounded shocking to the person on the other end. You're not going to come share the gospel? No, I have numerous times over many years. But why would I waste the time to go to have someone else ignore it when I've got people over here that are starving for it? And I think it registered. And guys, that's got to register with us. I'm not saying it's a waste of time to share the gospel with anyone. But we also have to recognize those who want to hear the gospel. We know that our time is limited. And because our time is limited, we have to use our time wisely. We can't just use our time in a foolish way. We must be about the Father's business, and that takes time management. I've not always been the best at time management. I'm still not the best at it, but God's been convicting me. And I've made changes in my life over the last couple of years that has helped me a lot. I still have a long way to go. But I realize that with limited time and limited resources, I've got to stay focused on what it is that God has called me to do and not waste time. I read an interesting example of a recent study of wasting time. This is very interesting to me. These researchers who do these studies, man, I think of how long it took them to do this and how they do it, I don't know. But according to this research, we spend 2 years making phone calls to people who aren't home in a lifetime. Think about that. In a lifetime, 2 years. Not only that, we spend six months waiting for traffic lights to turn green. At least some of us. We spend another 8 months, listen to this, internet junk mail users, like we all are. Without the internet, we spend 8 months of our life reading junk mail. How much do you think the internet has increased that with all the spam and junk mail we get? I look at that and I think, Lord, I'm all for technology. I use it. I use technology. I love technology. I do email. I do that. But I think we need to use great wisdom when it comes to our computers and the technology, because we can find our entire life wrapped up in that little screen. And a lot of it just getting next week's sale at 50% off. How important is that? And what are we really doing with our time? This is something God's challenging me with, and I think we need to be challenged as individually, especially with today's technology. We have to use what we've got wisely for the Lord. Now notice this, they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the entire city came together to hear the word of God. Look at the result of sharing the word of God with those who want to hear the word of God properly as the good news. Large crowds. They showed up. There they were. They wanted to hear the word of God. They wanted to see what was going on. This was exciting news. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken of by Paul. Look at this. They became jealous because the response was so great. And rather than being worried about the people and their eternal souls and eternal state, what were they worried about? They were worried about whether or not they were going to lose their position and their authority and their power. And especially upset because these Gentiles can't be saved anyway. They're not part of the elect. Why are you wasting your time on them? And now the whole city of Gentiles is showing up at the synagogue. What are you guys doing? You're causing problems for our church. They're not invited. They're not welcome. And so powerful what's going on here. But the gathering to hear the good news. And notice then Paul and Barnabas grew bold. I love it. They have the opposition. Guys, note this. When opposition comes, we're not to back down. Satan wants us to back down. We're not to back down. We're to grow bolder. I'm not saying be rude or force ourselves. But look at this. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. Why? Because it was promised to the Jew first and then the Gentile second. But since you reject it, as the Jews still do today for the most part, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Notice number one, first of all, they were now said to be unworthy because they'd rejected the truth of Jesus Christ. And now he says, as we'd say in the South, fighting words, them's fighting words. He says, I'm going to the Gentiles. Why? You didn't go to the Gentiles. And the only reason it didn't break out into a big riot here is because there were so many Gentiles surrounding the synagogue and around Paul and Barnabas. Had there not been, they would have gone nuts. We're going to see Paul later on down in Jerusalem, and he mentions going to the Gentiles, and they start just screaming and tearing their clothes and throwing dirt in the air and wanting to attack. Why? Because they hated the Gentiles. They didn't believe that they were supposed to go to the Gentiles. But I love it. Paul says, I don't care. He grows bold. He speaks the truth to them. And there's a time for boldness. There's a time sometimes we have to be very direct. And this was a time that they needed to be very direct and not back down. Hugh Latimer once preached before King Henry VIII. Henry was greatly displeased, it said, by the boldness in the sermon and ordered Latimer to preach the same sermon again the following Sunday and apologize for the offense he had given. Your sermon offended me, Pastor. Preach it again, this time nice. Take all the bad stuff out and ask everybody's forgiveness of how you did it, right? I'm not saying a pastor can't do that, do something wrong. But Latimer was convicted, it says, he had done what's right. And as he, after reading the text, he began his sermon this way, sharing what God had shared with him and what was in his heart. He began his sermon in front of the king, by the way, who could have killed him. Hugh Latimer, dost thou know before whom thou art this day to speak? to the high and mighty monarch, the king's most excellent majesty, who can take away your life if you offendeth. Therefore, take heed that thou speakest not a word that may displease him. But then consider well, Hugh, dost thou not know from whence thou comest, upon whose message you have been sent with, even by the great and mighty God, who is all present and who beholds all thy ways and who is able to cast thy soul into hell. In other words, he controls life. God controls hell. You have a decision to make, Latimer. Therefore, take care that thou deliverest thy message faithfully. I love this. It says, then he preached the same sermon he had preached the preceding Sunday and with considerably more energy. Can you imagine the king's response? You know, and again, I don't historically think that Latimer was put to death then, but I find that interesting because what he said was, is, you know what? I've got two kings I'm dealing with. I've got an earthly king that if I don't please is going to get me in a lot of worldly trouble. And I've got a heavenly king that if I don't please is going to get me in a lot of heavenly and eternal trouble. I think I'll choose my heavenly king to please. And that is the choice that each one of us has to make. And that is exactly what's happening here with Paul and Barnabas. And I believe this really is kind of a turning point for Paul because God now begins to make it very clear to Paul that he's called to the Gentiles. He's still going to go to the Jews every time he goes to a new town and go to them first because God's word says that. But now that the Jews are officially rejecting, he's going to see that rejection across the board. He's going to go to us, the Gentiles. And I find it interesting, a lot of the illustration I just used about Hugh Latimer, because look at verse 47, for the Lord has commanded us, not the king, not a man, but here's what the Lord has commanded us, and we're going to be faithful to that. And look what he says, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. There it is again, the whole world, and not just the whole world, but notice the Gentiles. Again, this would have been a verse that the Jews would have had to ignore or conveniently just skip over. And now Paul doesn't let them. Paul says, look, out of your own scriptures, it says to the ends of the world, and the Gentiles are included in that. So you now are rejecting the truth and the way to salvation. We're going to the ends of the world, and we're going to the Gentiles. Again, would have infuriated them. It would have made them hate them all the more. But again, this is right on, right on. And this is where I give a warning to us, guys. This is something else I've seen within the church, and I think it's something we have to be aware of because of our culture and our emotions and how we're made up and who we are. We have to make sure that we do not make decisions in our life or about our nation or about our families or what we think based on our culture. We have a very distinct culture in the South, do we not? We have to make up our mind and make our decisions on the Word of God. As you guys know, there was a big to-do about the recent elections and America having the first black president, which I, again, fantastic. It doesn't matter what someone's background is to be the president or anyone else. What matters is what do they believe? Where do they stand? That's what's important. But what struck me in the whole thing over the last 4 to 5 years now since this has been going, it's almost as if there were some people breaking up in groups to vote for certain people because of their background rather than because of what they stood for. We have to be so careful as the church, guys, that we don't choose sides based on culture or color or background or South or North or East or West or anything else. We have to choose based on the Word of God and say, God, what would you have us do as believers and followers of you? We have to rise above that. I expect that in the world. But as the church, guys, we have to rise up. Listen, I don't care if they're purple. If they stand on the Word of God and preach the truth, we're to stand with them. But if they don't, we have to say, you know what? This is wrong. And this is where we have to make sure we're not affected. Paul says, you know what? I don't care that I'm a Jew. I don't care that you're Jews. I don't care about our culture or background. This is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God teaches. And I'm standing with my heavenly family. I'm standing with my heavenly king. I'm standing with the kingdom that's not made with hands in heaven. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they glorified this word of the Lord. And as many have been appointed to eternal life, believe. Now, note that a couple things. The Gentiles were glad because they, again, had heard the word of the Lord, not heard the pastors, but the word of the Lord. It's God's word that brings that joy and that excitement and that fulfillment. But here's where some get confused. Notice, appointed to eternal life, those who were appointed believed. Why does that sometimes confuse people? Because it makes it sound like if you're not appointed, you can't believe. Well, the answer is yes and no, but let me explain it. I do believe in predestination. I believe that everyone in heaven was pre-chosen before the world was created. But I also believe, and the Bible teaches, that everyone had a choice in that. Mark, how is that possible? And first of all, give me an example. Well, in Deuteronomy, it says, this day choose. Choose life or death, which the scripture clearly shows we have a choice. Again, in Joshua 24, verse 15, it says this, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Choose, make a choice. "Whether the gods of your fathers that you served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land in which you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So very clearly, the Bible teaches a choice. It's all through the Bible, but the Bible also teaches predestination. Mark, how can both be true? Very easily. Because the Bible also says that God knows everything from beginning to end. And the Bible says that God has seen everything from beginning to end. That means God, looking in the future, saw each one of you who was going to make your choice on your own and choose him. Oh, you're going to choose me, Mark? All right, you're preordained for salvation. Oh, you're going to choose me? You're preordained for salvation. You're not going to choose me? You're preordained for eternal hell. Pretty scary, but that's what the Bible teaches. And the two are very easily married. There's no reason that we have to stand on either side of what can be a sensitive subject. He sees it all. He knows it all. We have a choice. We make the choice. He agrees with that choice, and we're in heaven. If you make that choice, that means that God saw that you're going to make that choice today or whenever you make it, and you're going to be eternally appointed into the kingdom of God. And here, for all those who were appointed to life, they believed. And notice the result of it. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Again, whenever you're not afraid and you don't back down and you stay faithful to the word, it spreads throughout the region. "But the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region." Again, they weren't fitting in with their mindset, so they kicked them out. Sometimes that happens as well. But I love it. Look at verse 51. "But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and they came to Iconium." What did Jesus say? If someone rejects the gospel, shake the dust off your feet and move on. It was a sign to say, you know what? Even your dirt's not worthy to go with us. It wasn't a slam. It was a statement saying, you know what? You need to repent. You're still living in uncleanness. And even your dirt, we're not going to take it with us on our feet. So by doing that, the Jews would realize we're making a statement, because all the Jews would do that. When they came back in Jerusalem, they would dust off the Gentile dirt. They're saying, basically, we're dusting off the dirt just like they do the Gentiles, because you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Very powerful statement. And they moved on to those who wanted to hear it and moved on to Iconium. And notice it says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Guys, here's our question today. Are you filled with joy and the Holy Spirit? If you don't know the Lord, you're not filled with joy and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's the good news, the same message Paul gave that day. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for you and rose again, you repent of your sins and receive him as Lord, you will be saved. Whosoever, for God so loved the world that whosoever would believe would be saved. You're in the world, you're a whosoever. You can give your life to the Lord today. If you're a believer and you're not walking in that joy and being filled with the Holy Spirit, then ask God to fill you as well. We'll pray both. But I want to invite the world. I want to invite the whosoevers. And I want to give you an opportunity, because that is what God has given to each of you. And some of this, it may be your time today. It may be the first time you've ever done that. You are welcome. The doors are open. There are no limits. Don't sit there thinking, maybe I'm not appointed. No, if you choose today, you are appointed. Because God saw that you were going to choose and you'll become a member of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those you have appointed for salvation even today, whether it be here at Calvary Chapel or whether it be in some other church in Knoxville or some other place around the world. And I pray, God, first of all, for us as believers, if we have let the joy leave, Lord, and our life is not filled with the Spirit, Father, I ask that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. I ask, God, you'd fill us with your joy. And ask, Lord, you'd refresh us.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.